Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, on the special occasion of Ramadan, we ask the question, what are the benefits of fasting?
The holy month of Ramadan is a month in which Muslims are commanded to fast from dawn till dusk for the full 30 days. The Quran states, O you who have believed, decreed upon you is fasting, as it was decreed upon those before you, so that you may become righteous. Thus, for 30 days, the lifestyles of Muslims around the world change dramatically, and habits including snacking, smoking, fighting or bickering, and even sexual intercourse is prohibited during the day. But although its core purpose is spiritually based, there are many health and medical benefits and implications of fasting, including giving rest to the digestive system, decrease of cholesterol levels in blood, and moderate weight loss. This week's Islam and Life asks, what are the benefits of fasting?
It's an important question that we have to ask, because very often when we speak about fasting, we speak about one side or one dimension. It could be the spiritual side of fasting. Why are we fasting? And we spoke about this already. When it comes to the very essence of our relationship to God, our relationship to our heart, our relationship with to ourselves, there is something which has to do with the social aspect, which is just to think about the poor people, to be close to the poor people, to think about the social benefits of fasting, because this is also something which has to do with our way of life. And there is another side, which is something which has to do with our body and the physical health side of why are we fasting and why is it so important for us. And from an Islamic perspective, to look only at the spiritual side or the physical side or the social side would be wrong. We have to have a comprehensive approach, which is the very meaning of our relationship to God, which is the meaning of Tawheed. La ilaha illallah is the very essence of this meaning of everything that we do as Muslims has a spiritual side, a physical side, a social side, and even sometimes a political side, an economic side, as we also discuss it in other programs. So let us come to something which has to do with the physical side, which is very important for us, and especially in our consumerist societies where we eat too much, we drink too much, we are not exercising enough, and then this is something which is as if it was secondary. And we know that the Prophet, peace be upon him, told us and taught us that one of the questions that we will have just after our death will be, what have you done with your health? Which is also important in connection to our months and the months of Ramadan. So these are important questions, and to answer all these questions, I'm joined by my guest, holistic natural health and fitness specialist, Anissa Kisun. Thank you so much for being with us today. Let me come to the first question about this comprehensive way of dealing with Ramadan. You are much more, and we are talking about this today, interested in the physical side and the health side of fasting. Now, even if we speak only about the physical side, we know from the medical sciences today, and we know from the spiritual side and the spiritual teachings of Islam, that everything is connected. So I want you to reconnect, reconcile the physical and the spiritual sides of fasting.
I mean, I think first and foremost, when we're looking at fasting as a nation, and we must do this from the physical point of view, because to me, witnessing over the 20 years, I've seen that it has definitely become a month of feasting and not fasting. We are, you know, spending so much time preparing for iftars, you know, more women are shopping more. You know, we're supposed to be abstaining, but we are, you know, doing more. So, and we're indulging more. Yes, we have, you know, a smaller frame of time to eat, but those meals are becoming so heavy, so we're not able to connect the physical and the spiritual side. So I think this is something that, you know, we need to discuss.
But what is the problem? Is too much physical, or is too much spiritual, or we have lost the spiritual, so now it's becoming only the roots? What is the problem?
It is a bit of both. We're spending way too much time eating and worrying about what we're eating. So then that makes us lose the physical side. You know, if we're supposed to be thinking about the poor, and, you know, from the spiritual aspect, then how can we, when I see women daily worrying about, you know, what they're going to eat, what they're going to have for iftar?
Only women?
Well, we're the ones who are obviously controlling the kitchen, you know. Mm. So this is something that I believe has actually stopped us from getting and really benefiting from the essence of Ramadan. Mm. Because, you know, if we're worrying too much about this and we're having very little time to indulge on the contemplation, the, you know, connecting, reconnecting with Allah, because we're so worried. I see women preparing meals even before Ramadan, you know, and they are really, and it's incredible. I witnessed one woman, she had a freezer full of pre-made samosas. And she was sitting down there and she was preparing it. And I'm saying, what are you doing? She says, I'm getting ready for Ramadan. I said, but isn't Ramadan supposed to be about abstaining, not just from the physical side, but from everything? She said, yeah, but in our culture, we eat a lot. I said, but then you're missing the essence.
So there is something interesting in what you are saying, because what you are saying is, because of the spiritual side is misunderstood, we end up having a way of dealing with eating and meals, and which is completely wrong. We are eating too much. So we are going to try to do the opposite. Inductively today, we will try to go from what is right on physical terms in a healthy way of fasting to come back. It would help the Muslims and even the people who would want to understand Islam,
yes,
to get a more spiritual message. So, as you were saying, it's wrong to eat more, it's wrong. So what is the right way in physical terms, in medical terms,
yes,
to fast? And then we will carry on from there.
I think to make it easy on everybody, if we do look at our systems, I don't know, like a car, for instance, or, you know, it's any kind of machinery. If we're using it continuously, then obviously it gets overloaded and it needs rest. If you think of our digestive system, you know, the beautiful thing about Islam is that we have answers to everything, literally, not just, you know, for one thing. We have it for everything. And if we're continuously using our systems, then it goes into burnout. So when you rest it, then, you know, everything else is able to come back into alignment. Okay, so even in the Western world, I've been working with some very popular women's magazines, and the big fad is at the moment is that everybody's discovered fasting. And I've been saying to them, the non-Muslims, I've been saying, but we've been doing this for thousands of years, you know, and it dates even, you know, from the time of Prophet Isa and all of the prophets, you know, they indulged in fasting. But the two-day fast, which is obviously a sunnah for us, has become something that has become a fad. Mm. And I, you know, and they find it very fascinating that we've been doing this and it was prescribed for us for 1400 years, you know, subhanAllah. But then I talk to them about the Ramadan and they think it's like, oh my goodness, it's like a detox miracle. Mm. But again, relating back to the Muslims, we ourselves need to go back to how we're supposed to fast, you know, and then we will then receive the benefits. And the benefits are everything from, you know, losing weight, which is the biggest one for many people. You know, a lot of women.
So if you have to just to come with a ranking all these benefits, because we know the right way of fasting in spiritual terms, the way to be close to the Quran, close,
yes,
to God, we know this is going to help our heart to be purified in one way. Now, if we want to purify the body,
yes,
which is also one very important side of, yeah, Ramadan, so what are the benefits in very physical terms when we are fasting? And to get these benefits, what should we do? And how would be the right way of fasting then?
Excellent. Let's start off with how should we do it first, and then we'll,
okay,
talk about the benefits. Because, you know, and again, answers are in the Quran and the Sunnah. We need to definitely, when we're waking up for suhoor in the morning, this is a very important meal, engaging in things that will help us to have a slow release of energy throughout the day. So when we're having things like wholemeal toast, you know, cereals, whole grain cereals, dates are fantastic. You know, organic milk, as opposed to these pasteurized milk now. You know, water and fruit juices. These are the things that we should be having in the morning, not fried or very heavy foods, because this then makes us more thirsty, you know. And sometimes when you have things like too much meats, etc., then you're not able to, you just feel very lethargic and you want to go back to sleep. And, you know, so very light foods in the morning, porridges, oats are another fantastic
light foods, but it's important to do it. We know that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Suhoor Barakah, there is a blessing in the fact that you are eating in the morning, so there is a spiritual blessing.
Yes.
You are saying there is a health blessing, a physical blessing, which is what exactly?
Well, like I said, if you have certain foods that enable you to have a slow release of energy throughout the day, then you're not feeling so tired and your body is just sustained, you know. And for those of the viewers who are fasting in London, we have a very long fast this month, you know, where it's approximately over 16 hours. So I know a lot of the people are worried about that. Well, you know, isn't it going to be too long? And I know there's some people who want to go abroad. But this is fine. This is actually very good for the system. You know, obviously Allah is not going to burden us more than than we can bear. But if you take the advice of having these foods, like I said, oats, wholemeal grains, wholemeal toast, water, very essential.
So then this is in the morning.
This is in the morning.
And then?
And then for iftar, again, making sure
iftar
that
iftar is when we break in the evening. Just okay, yeah?
So again, the dates. This is very, very important. I think now you have some packet dates that you can even put in your handbag that come pre-packed. And if you prepare yourself, you know, so that, you know, obviously a lot of people are still working and still, you know, traveling, etc. But if you have these things, these are essential. You have the date will then give you the sugar rush that you need, as opposed to some people just break it with sometimes, you know, things like chocolates, etc. You know, if you prepare yourself, then you're going to get the benefits and your body is going to then feel revitalized. And then if you have something small, not too much, because then if you have too much, it will then, you know, burden you for your tarawih prayers, your night prayers. So you'll then, if you have too much meats, etc., you know, things like lentil soup, this is very good. You know, vegetables, light vegetables, because again, we're in the height of summer now. So you don't need to have so much starchy foods or heavy foods, because meats take up to 60% of your digestive energies. So if you're thinking about it, if you need this extra energy to then stand up in your prayer, you know, throughout the nights and things like this. So you don't want to have too much so that you are overburdened.
Okay, so this is during the evening. Is it good, for example, as we have it, some are eating in the very light way first, go to pray, and then they come back and they eat again. Is this a right way of doing it?
I mean, if you look at the time, because the fasting times for, especially in London, this is quite a short gap. So you don't want to really overburden yourself. I mean, a good healthy digestive system takes 6 hours to digest. So if you think about it, you don't want to keep eating, but small amounts is better, you know, but then not missing the suhoor. Because like you said, the Prophet ﷺ said that there's benefits in suhoor. So if you have something that's too heavy, you might be tempted to oversleep and try to catch.
But if I listen to you, it should be light in the evening, light in the morning. So it's always light.
Light, yeah, definitely light. Because, you know, and or small amounts, small amounts of, if you are going to have meat, which obviously, yes, you know, most cultures have meat, then don't have too much. You know, have something where there's small, little amounts, like for the women who are, I'm not saying they're always going to be the ones who are cooking, but don't cook big chunks of meat. You know, dice it or slice it, like the kind of Chinese do, so that you can have small amounts. So you can still get the flavor. And I know that a lot of people like to honor their guests. But, you know, you have to just remember that the 60% of your energy that may be used, will be used for digestion, will then make your night prayers a bit more difficult. So you'll stand up and, you know, you'll probably be swaying a little bit or be tempted to have a break. And you don't want that.
Okay. So this is the way it should be done. So what are the benefits now, if we come to what is the impact of all this on our body?
Fantastic. I think that one of the most important things is that from a detox point of view, like I said, you've given your system that break, then when you're fasting, it will allow your body to eat up all of the kind of junk and all the toxins that are lodged around your body. Mm. So it's good, because when you go into starvation mode, okay, then your body will literally go and seek all the kind of stored fat around the body. So this is very good. This is one of the most important parts of fasting, that it does, because we don't give our bodies the chance to use up what it's stored. So this is fantastic. If you look at it like a cupboard, you know, if you don't keep continuously go shopping every week, you'll be forced to see what have I got and use the stuff that maybe, you know, put to the back. So then, you know, you use these things. So this is very important. But it has, in terms of, and when you kind of leave this and you break and you don't keep, you know, burdening your system with more foods, then it will help rejuvenate, because that extra energy can then be used for repair. Mm. So you think about it in terms of cell repair, you know, injury repair. A lot of people find that in Ramadan, they feel like they have more energy because their system is not constantly digesting. So you can be even mentally alert. It's very good for people who are suffering from stress and depression. Because, like I said, their energy is not used always for digestion. So there's many, your skin glows more, you know, all of these things, if you do it right. Mm. Not if you kind of go down the road of having lots of fried and foods that are not good for you, lots of pastries and cakes and things like this. You're not going to get the benefits of fasting.
So your spiritual state depends a lot on the way you are fasting and what you are eating and in which way you are doing this. But there are two questions here. The first one is, very often when you speak with medical doctors and people who are, they are saying, look, during the way you can do it, and at one point, if you fast or you don't drink, it's unhealthy. So it could be unhealthy if you are not doing it. When does, you know, our fast become unhealthy? In which way it could be? Because at the end, we are acting against nature.
Okay, so really, obviously, within the deen, we have the rules and restrictions. If you're sick, if you're traveling, etc., if women are unable to pray, then they are exempt from fasting, lactating women, pregnant women, etc. So we have our kind of guidelines.
But for people who can fast.
But for people who can fast, you know, mashallah, fasting has always got benefits. And this is obviously, Allah wouldn't prescribe us something if it was going to be of harm for us. And He wants ease for us. But we have to understand that the benefits are far greater. In the society that we live in now, where we are consumed with so much choice of foods, you know, we do need to definitely have this break. And like I said, help fasting. We need fasting so that it can clear up our toxins that we are ridiculed with. Just because we don't see the toxins, it doesn't mean to say that they're not there. So the fasting just can help, you know, with all of that. But yes, you don't want to overexert yourself. But then I know athletes who are, you know, fasting. And my daughter, for instance, last year she did a basketball certification, and she was really worried, but mashallah, she was actually the only person that actually passed, you know, and nobody else was fasting. So, you know, her energy was channeled into another way, and she was fine, and she's not an overweight girl, so it's not that she's got a lot of fat deposits to kind of survive off of.
But at what point, what is healthy when it's not in excess could become unhealthy? Which is sometimes what we can hear, you know, for example, when you are not drinking, at what point you can say, okay, be careful, if you don't get it right, it's going to be the wrong way of doing it. So we are eating too much, what you said at the beginning. So what could make our fast, which is so beneficial, being, you know, sometimes can be the opposite?
Like I said, I think if you have to know yourself first and foremost.
Okay? It depends on every.
It's definitely an individual's thing. You have to recognize the signs. For instance, if you are feeling dizzy, you know, you take your rest. You know, you take a nap. All of these type of things. Don't exert yourself if you are feeling you know, that you are not coping. And, you know, when your body is naturally going through a detox, sometimes you will get headaches. Sometimes you will feel a bit moody even because your body is sometimes, depending on yourself, craving whatever it's used to. If I have some of my patients who are used to having pastries in the morning with cups of coffee. So when you take that away from them, then their body is craving the sugars and the caffeine. So you have to recognize the signs and work with your body. So if it's telling you, okay, I've got a headache, you know, or I'm feeling a bit dizzy, then rest and give it that. But don't give up. I would say don't give up, because a lot
don't give up, but still listen.
But still listen
to your body and listen to yourself. Last question, as you were saying, in the UK, in the West today, but not only in Africa, it's going to be during summer. Mm-hmm. And during summer, there are things that we should avoid doing because of, you know, it's hot, it's not easy. Mm-hmm. What should we avoid doing during summer in order to keep the benefits of our fasting, especially during summer?
Well, like I said, I mean, it is definitely the overexertion. When you are losing water through sweating, you know, then you're not able to replace.
So don't expose yourself, try to protect yourself from sun and things like
that.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I'm not saying don't go out there and get some lovely vitamin D, because it is summer. Yeah. And especially for those who are living here, we don't get enough vitamin D. So, we need to, you know, you need to be very cautious, especially the people who have young children. I've seen sometimes some parents push their youngsters into fasting, or they want them to fast, and they're not really realizing that, you know, and I hear this so often, well, I fasted at your age, but maybe when the cycle was, you know, it wasn't such a long hours. So, you know, have mercy on the children, because, you know, you don't want them to exert themselves.
Thank you so much. I think that what was important at the start of this program, what we said, and I think it's important, and you repeated this in your in our discussion, is that we need to have a comprehensive approach of Ramadan, all the dimensions, the spiritual side, the social side, and the physical side, which are very important, and they are related, and it's important to have the whole vision. Now, coming to our discussion, the physical side, the first thing, we ended with this, but I think that this is the first thing that you are saying, is that we know the rules, what it means to fast, but you need to know, everyone needs to know him or herself, which is the starting point of everything, and then to avoid exposing, to go too far in excess, where it's hot, when it's during summer, when we need to drink, we need to have to be. And then the second thing that you are saying is that to be disciplined with eating in the morning. The suhoor is very important, not too much. So it's something which is helping you to get what is needed for the day. And at the same time, in the evening, the same process, it's important. It's always moderation and understanding, knowing the rules and knowing oneself. And I think that this is important in physical terms. But the physical terms are helping the spiritual side of the whole thing, and also the social side. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen. And here is the way to contact us.
Islam and Life welcomes your opinion. So please send us your suggestions as well as criticism on any of the shows you've seen or would like to see. You can share your thoughts with other Islam and Life fans, engage with debate, and view past shows on our social media platforms. Tweet us at Islam and Life TV, or join us on Facebook by liking our page, Islam and Life on Press TV.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Anissa Kisoun. Thank you so much for being with us and your input. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah.